Hi, I'm Chris Plum, head coach and CEO of Carmel Swim Club. This is the Off the Deck podcast. Off the Deck champions Carmel Swim Club's mission, teaching excellence through swimming for life. Carmel Swim Academy will provide an entry point for more children in central Indiana to have access to life-saving programs. It's true. Drowning is the leading cause of injury-related death in children ages 1 to 4, and the second leading cause of death in children 5 to 9. But there is hope. Participation in formal swimming lessons can mitigate the risk of drowning by 88%. We are compelled to use our expertise in swimming to make our community safer and to ensure every child has the opportunity to learn to swim. To learn more, visit www.carmelswimacademy.org. Off the Deck is also sponsored by Gain Swimming. Gain Swimming is the gold standard in dry land training. We will have our annual clinic in Carmel coming up September 10th through the 12th. To learn more, visit www.thegainnetwork.com/gainswimming. And now on with the show. My guest today, who I just met, so you're, her name is Leah Gingrich. I just saw her swim, and I am thoroughly impressed with her because she's 31 years old, competing against our age groupers and our senior athletes. And I think I'm going to start with, let's get into this a little bit. She's from the University of Texas. She's from Enola, Pennsylvania. She's a middle distance butterflyer, freestyler, can really do it all. 2-time All-American, qualified in Olympic trials. I don't know if I did read 04, but 08, 12, and then 21. So she's currently 31 years old and she's swimming. And before we begin, Leah, I want to just tell the story. Because we were swimming at the Greensboro Championships and our 14-year-old Alex Shackle wins the 100 fly. And then that night I see you guys out having dinner, you and your husband, Andy. And he was like, oh, you know, you got this one. And then the next night you touch out our other 14-year-old in the freestyle. And so it was kind of like this fun little like thing. And then you told the story. So tell me that story you told, you know, tell everyone the story you told me outside the pool and we'll start there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, you know, I think when I swim, butterfly is my main stroke that I kind of have been focusing on. So a lot of times when I swim 100 or 200 butterfly, if I don't win or if I don't, you know, do a time that I kind of want to do, I feel this, you know, pressure and I get frustrated and, you know, normal swimmer thoughts after a bad race. After that 100 butterfly, I touched the wall. I looked up, I got touched out and I genuinely smiled. And I was like, that was a lot of fun. That was a really good race. And I just enjoyed it. And I was like, that's what swimming is all about. And I sometimes lose that every once in a while, as we all do. But yeah, then in the 400 freestyle, what a great race. I had just touched your girl out by, I think it was 6/100ths of a second. And she just realized that when we were getting ready for the awards. And she looks at me and she goes, oh my gosh, that was such a close race. That was only 6/100ths of a second. And I was like, yeah, like, thank you for that great race. That was awesome. She goes, oh my gosh, that was so much fun. And I was like, this again is what swimming is all about. And those 14-year-olds, the younger swimmers, bring out that excitement and just wanting to be there and wanting to race. I had another coach come up to me and say, it's really nice to see you actually wanting to be here and racing. And I'm like, that's exactly how I feel about, you know, your girls that I was racing this weekend. They genuinely wanted to be there. They were having fun no matter what the outcome was, first place, second place. And that's what it's all about. And so I truly had fun swimming against your girls. I think like literally every single final, I was like right beside one of them. So,
yeah, just, and I just feel like, I mean, you got to feel like it's one of those full circle moments, right? You probably were one of those 14-year-old kind of up and comers, right? And here you are racing them, but it's like both of you are having so much fun doing it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, tell us, why at 31 have you discovered this love for the sport and you're competing at the highest levels? And I'm assuming you're going at your best times or right near them. And yeah, so tell us about that.
Yeah, so when I stopped swimming in college, or when I graduated college, I decided to stop swimming, which was really a difficult decision because it was perfect timing for me to go to another trials again. I graduated in 2012. So if I just would have kept swimming those couple of months, I would have went to my third Olympic trials at the time. And I just was really struggling with enjoying it. And I made the decision after NCAAs to stop swimming. And I honestly went back and forth with that decision multiple times. I was like, no, I'm done. And then like the next week I'd show up to practice and be like, okay, like I'm going to go to trials. And then the next week I'd be like, I can't do this anymore. And so finally I just had to walk away because I wasn't enjoying it. So it wasn't worth it for me. It wasn't helping my teammates. It wasn't helping anybody. And I had to walk away from the sport. And I don't ever regret anything because I think that that was the best decision I could have made for myself at that time. But I've always felt like I had more to give in the sport in multiple senses. And one of them being, I just knew I could be faster than what I was at the time. And so I kind of fought that battle for 6 years. I took 6 years off and, you know, I started dating Andrew and I saw his passion for the sport. He is like the biggest swim nerd I think I've ever met. When we first started dating, I had to tell him like, please stop talking about swimming. Can we like talk about anything else? Or like right. Stop watching swimming videos. Can we watch like a normal movie, like a normal couple? But he really got me to see that passion and love for the sport again. And then we moved to Columbus, Georgia together about 5 years ago. And I took over coaching the youngest group, the beginners, the like 5-6-year-olds who absolutely just love being at swim practice. They're the first ones in the water. Then you have to like yank them out of the pool because they don't want to get out. And just slowly but surely that seeing that love for the sport that I was just surrounded by Andrew and the swimmers just started bringing it back out in me. And then we started the master's program and I was like, well, I'm just going to hop in with them and see what it's like. And I was swimming like 3 days a week with them, maybe 5 days sometimes. And I was like, wow, like this is actually really fun. Like I'm enjoying this a lot. And I started getting a lot faster than I expected, like very quickly. And I was like, this is kind of crazy. Like I'm actually doing pretty well. And then I just started doing some swim meets. And I think it took less than 5 months for me to go a best time. And I was like, and granted, now is a best time, I think, in like, 100 freestyle or something, a race that I didn't swim quite as much growing up, but I'm still like best time's the best time. And I really celebrated that. And then in less than 3 years, I was going a best time in the Tuner Butterfly, arguably one of my best events. So I think, you know, a big part of that is Andrew, but also just me loving it.
Yeah. So, a lot to unpack there and I know we'll talk about it. So, going back originally, you talk about this love for the sport with the younger kids. Where did you originally find your love of the sport and what brought you to the water?
I was pretty much thrown into the water as a baby. My like everybody in my family has a pool, so I've just always been surrounded by it. And I started on a mini team when I was like 4 years old, and I was just hooked ever since. I played a ton of other sports growing up, but at the age of about 10 or 11, I think I was like, nope, I'm all in on swimming. Let's do this. And it's just, I've just always loved it. So I'm very fortunate for that.
Okay. And so I'm just realizing from the behind you, what room?
I was waiting.
is this your bedroom?
This is my bedroom growing up. And this was like a birthday present. I think I was maybe 12 or 13. My parents completely redid my room. So the ceiling is the swimming pool, the lane ropes.
You have lane lines at a pool on your ceiling.
Yep. That's how crazy I was about swimming as a younger swimmer.
You have flags going across. That's unbelievable. That's so fantastic. Yep. And wow. So you were crazy about it growing up. You what was your club team there?
West Shore YMCA.
So you swam for YMCA. So did you all the YMCA dressing up for all those meets and things like that?
Yeah, YMCA Nationals is still to this day probably one of my favorite swim meets.
Yeah, so lots of fun. And then you're swimming in the, obviously, the trials and all those meets. And so it's like quite a contrast, would you say?
Yes. YMCA swimming and Y Nationals is just so much fun. And you have like, you know, the team behind you and everything. And then you go to trials and it's like so much pressure. There's a lot of expectations going into those meets. And, you know, typically you're not going with a big team. You might have like some smaller teams going and stuff like that. But, you know, especially this last year, I was on my own. And so it's definitely scarier.
And then what, and we have a lot of people out there who listen, especially they're kind of trying to choose their college. So you chose the University of Texas. Mm-hmm. What made you choose Texas? And if you could go back in time, what would you tell yourself before you went off to school?
Yeah, so I took 3 recruiting trips. I went to Georgia, Texas, and Southern California. And I just felt like I got along with the team really well at Texas and, you know, just all around. The biggest advice that, you know, my parents and my club coach telling me growing up was where are you going to be happiest if you can't swim for some unfortunate reason? You know, if you get sick or broken arm, like where are you still going to be happy if swimming is taken away from you? And Texas was that option for me. There are so many things looking back. It's so crazy because the recruiting process is starting earlier and earlier. Right. And I'm like, well, I was 16, 17 going through it. And I'm like, so young, like you just know so much more now. And so, yeah, I can always look back and say, I tell myself different things and maybe ask different questions, but ultimately I had a great experience and I don't regret anything about, you know, even though I kind of finished those 4 years and struggled with the joy of swimming, still don't regret it. And I think, you know, I'm actually grateful for it because now I get to swim at the age of 31 and enjoy it all over again. So it's kind of worked out for me.
So, I mean, like, I would agree, like we have a lot of athletes today, you know, 16, they're getting recruited. In the middle between their sophomore and junior summers, and they're getting, you know, I mean, everyone has to do their job, but I feel like they're getting a lot of pressure applied to them to make decisions about, I mean, a huge decision. Right. And I know I was talking to a coach this weekend and he said, yeah, this one of my swimmers has to make a decision on Monday. Like his meet just ended on Saturday about it. So I know you guys might see that there too in your program. So what should we be telling our swimmers now about their college experience and what to be looking for?
You know, I think the biggest thing is remembering that when you're going through this recruiting process, it is just like social media where it's a huge highlight reel. And so ask those hard questions about, you know, well, what's it like on the bad days? Or what's it like if I'm struggling? Like, do I have people to talk to? And, you know, whatever you may be worried about when you leave and go off on your own, don't be afraid to ask those questions, the scary things, because those are the important things. You know, I went to Southern California and they took me to the beach and I was literally sold that night. I'm like, Mom, Dad, I'm going to California. Like I want to go to the beach every single night. And they're like, you know, that's not going to happen every night. Like, let's be realistic. Like, don't just look at that. And so just kind of remembering that the recruiting is you're right. They are trying to sell themselves to you. And so just take that step back and be realistic and be honest about that and kind of lay all the cards out and see what the best fit is going to be for you personally.
Yeah, that's great advice. And, you know, ask the tough questions. And, you know, I think sometimes athletes get scared, but at the same time, the sooner they take ownership, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you take, you know, you kind of leave, like you said, you were talking about earlier, you don't swim trials, you know, and then you take 6 years off. And what did you teach during that time?
Did a little bit of teaching. And then I really ended up back on the pool deck, like immediately started coaching like right away, even though I didn't want to, I was like, I need to just get away. But yeah, I think, you know, swimming's just, like I said, I loved it from such an early age. I don't think it's going to ever be out of my life. Even when I'm done swimming, you know, this time around, it's always going to be a huge part of who I am and what I enjoy doing. And so, yeah, I think I'll always just be around it. But yeah, I started coaching and just doing, you know, I had a really difficult time finding like a full-time teaching job in Pennsylvania. It's just really difficult. And then I moved to Georgia and it was like so easy, but then I ended up not teaching anymore and coaching more full-time. So it's all worked out.
Yeah. So we can kind of get to where we are today, but I want to read your quote from your bio here. I loved it. And I want to hear you talk about it a little bit, but it says, enjoy what you do in life. I went through a period where I didn't enjoy swimming anymore and I had to walk away from the sport. It took 6 years to find, quote, success outside of the pool and do something I thought was expected from me. Those 6 years were the toughest I've had mentally. When I finally realized I wanted to swim and coach again, it made me so much happier. It's important to do what you love. If there's a love and passion in what you do, you will find success. Where do you think that love and passion, and how do you live that now every day? And that you, and was that like an epiphany for you? Like how,
just it was
for a little bit.
It was. And honestly, that came from Andrew. I just was having such a hard time with finding a teaching job and loving it. I mean, as you know, your wife is a teacher, like you come home with a lot of baggage sometimes, and it's really hard. There are days I'd come home and I'd be crying every day because of just how difficult it is to be a teacher. Yeah. and I don't think a lot of people realize that, but I got to the point where I was so upset and so worked up all the time that Andrew was like, is this worth it? Like, what, you know, why are you doing this to yourself if you're not enjoying it? Like, and that was the same thing that my parents would tell me about swimming. If I had like a rough patch and I was coming home unhappy, they're like, you don't have to swim. Like, if you're not enjoying it, don't do it. And I think that, you know, just hearing it from Andrew then in a situation that was outside of the pool, outside of my swimming, it just kind of clicked. And then I'm watching him do something that he literally loves doing every single day. Like, it is not a job to him. He gets to go play on the pool deck for a couple hours every single day. And I was like, I need that. Like, I need to figure out what that is for me, because I used to just think success was making a lot of money. And as you know, a teacher, that's not happening with a teacher salary anyway. So I was like literally searching for something that was just not going to happen. And I just worried a lot about what other people thought. And I was always so scared telling, like, if people would want to catch up from like college or something, like, hey, what are you doing? Like, I'd feel so insecure about the fact that I didn't have a good answer for them. Yeah. And I just realized, you know what? Like, I just need to do what I love doing. And as soon as I made the decision to start swimming again, I was terrified to tell people. I really was. But once I did, the amount of like support and just great messages, especially from my close friends, was more than I could have imagined. And I think that when people see you're really happy, that's all that matters, right? And it took me a while to get there, but 100% worth it now that I'm there.
Yeah. And so you and Andy are, that's a unique relationship, right? I mean, you guys met and then you decided, well, hey, you know, I want to get back in the water. And so he's your coach. I mean, there's just so much. I mean,
oh yeah.
Yeah. But you know, talk us through that. You guys obviously have a great relationship. Do you talk about practices at home? Do you leave it there? I mean, what are the rules?
I don't think we really have any rules. So I think, you know, as scared as I was to tell people that I was swimming again, I was even more scared to tell people that my boyfriend was coaching me while I was swimming, you know, because I, you know what people are going to think. Like, if I'm already insecure about what people are thinking about me, that's it's going to be really bad. But I think the best thing about our relationship swimming and just outside of the pool is the fact that I got to watch him, and I've talked about this so much already on this podcast, of his passion for the sport and coaching. So I got to see that, and I got to build up that trust and that respect before I decided to get back into the water. So I got back in and I really, you know, decided to make that commitment of like, hey, let's see what we got. Like, let's try to make an Olympic team. That happened. And I was choosing him. I'm like, I think you can get me there. And so there is that mutual respect of, he knows I'm giving 100% every single day when I show up on the pool. And I know he's giving me that 100%. And to have that respect before it even happened, I think is, you know, the key for us. And I think I'm the one who probably talks about swimming more, my swimming more outside of the pool. And if it's overwhelming to me in any way, just tell him like, hey, can we talk about something else? And we talk about something else. But typically I'm the one bringing it up and I'm like, I got to stop myself from talking about it.
Yeah, I know before we got on, you were talking about how he was the swim nerd and, mm-hmm. and it seems like those roles have been reversed a little bit.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, on a different note, it is a little bit fascinating, this world that we live in, because I only met Andy because he followed me on Instagram and then I followed him back. And then we met at trials and then I saw him again in Greensboro. And it's like, it's such a cool world when it's used in that way, right? And so but for you guys, it's got to be a lot, because you got to go to all the meets now with him and train and you swam, I don't know how much in the past month, so you obviously have to have a passion for it. But how are you dealing now you're 31? How are you dealing with, like, are you more sore, are you more beat up? How do you manage? Like, obviously you can't be, you're not 18 anymore. Like, how do you withstand the challenges of the demands of the sport at your, not to say that 31's old, but certainly you're
That's
not.
Okay. Yeah. It's different.
17 anymore. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, in the beginning I was training like worlds different than I ever did growing up or in college. I was swimming one practice a day, rarely getting up to like an hour and a half. And I would have recovery days almost every other day, and like a true recovery day, not like, you know, what coaches like to say, oh, it's going to be easy and it's not really easy. Like, they were true recovery days where it was easy, just easy swimming, kicking, that kind of stuff. And I feel like that was really great for me at the time, because obviously I'm going from scratch. I wasn't swimming at all for those 6 years. But we've kind of built off of that and I'm getting back up to the point where I can do some doubles. And honestly, the thing that's the hardest for me is trying to do weights and dry land. Like, I get really, really sore when I do weights and dry land. So balancing that out and figuring out when to do weights so that it's not completely crushing me during like an important workout the next day or something like that. But yeah, it's challenging and I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah. And I mean, you made the semis, and we actually in the 200 fly, we had a girl who actually goes to University of Texas, Kelly Pash, who was in final that 200 fly. Yeah. So what was it like, you know, swimming in the final of that meet, or the semifinal, I guess, at Olympic trials? I mean, something you hadn't done before, and it's obviously one of the pinnacles of our sport.
Yeah. Well, so in 2008, I made finals in the 200 butterfly and 800 freestyle. But again, that feels like a lifetime ago. So even though I had that experience, it was still kind of brand new. And, you know, like I said, my goal was to make the Olympic team and I didn't even make finals. So that was really difficult. And I went 211 and this past week I went 209. So it's, you know, a little frustrating. And I told Andrew after the meet, I'm like, I need to figure out. And, you know, at 31, you feel like you should like have this figured out. And it's like the younger kids that you're trying to teach how to do this. But like, I'm learning and teaching myself along the way, where, you know, I had so much fun. There's zero pressure at these swim meets recently. And I get up on the block, I'm not thinking about anything. I'm just getting in racing. I touch the wall. I smile almost no matter what the time is or what the place is. And I lost that going into trials this year. The months leading up to it, I just got too focused. And that's such a thing, right? There's too much focus going in there. I just felt a lot of pressure on myself, especially that day, the day of the 200 fly semifinals. It's almost as if I knew I wasn't making finals, because I knew what was going on in my mind and my body, that I was like, I'm hurting myself right now. And I couldn't figure out how to get past that, because it's trials is the most high pressure situation you're going to be at if you're trying to make the Olympic team. So that's a really huge lesson that I am taking away from the past couple weeks, is like, I need to talk to a lot of people. I talked to so many coaches and swimmers on the pool deck this week, and I'm like, I didn't do that at trials. Like, I was avoiding people and, you know, being like a hermit, because I didn't want to like freak myself out by talking to someone, or, you know, just doing something that would make me more nervous. And in doing that, I ended up making myself more nervous. While I was at trials, I was like, this is amazing. I'm so glad I'm here. I'm so fortunate that I'm in this I'm able and capable of being at Olympic trials at the age of 31, and I'm here. And I did not take that for granted at all. But it was very bittersweet that night of the semifinals of the 200 butterfly for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think now at, now you kind of, you know, you stopped and you come back, it seems to me like your appreciation and, I don't know, the perspective on the sport has changed dramatically. When you, maybe when you weren't enjoying it, do you think about the reasons why you weren't then? And like, how are you dealing with that time frame in your mind where you weren't enjoying the sport like you do now?
Yeah, I think, you know, I just try to learn from that and make sure, you know, I don't get myself back into that spot. I've been asked by so many people, are you going to keep swimming? Are you going to go to trials in 3 more years? And I'm like, you know what? I took a week off and I wanted to get back in the water already after Olympic trials this summer. And that was a huge sign for me that I at least wanted to continue swimming for a little bit longer. Have not made that decision on 3 more years or not, but I know that as long as I'm enjoying it, I'm going to keep doing it. And if I get to the point where, you know, I become too over-focused and I'm over-analyzing everything and it becomes more of like a job than something fun, then that's when I need to, you know, reevaluate what I'm doing.
Yeah. So moving forward, you talked about, you got to go ISL.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So tell us about that. What's coming up for you?
Yeah, I leave August 24th to go to Italy for, I think it's about 5 to 6 weeks. And then depending on how the regular season goes, hopefully we'll make semifinals and finals and, you know, get to continue traveling with the team a little bit more after that. But I'm looking forward to it. I got to go to Budapest last year for ISL, and it is just, it's an amazing opportunity that, again, I never thought I would have that in my entire life, and to get to go and be a part of it, I'm really excited to do it again.
Yeah, Italy sounds rough.
Right, it's gonna 5 weeks. Oh man.
Yeah, really rough in Italy, huh? Yeah, no, that's exciting. That's exciting. So, I'm gonna ask you a little bit lighter questions. So, I call these the fast finisher, as we like to do in practice here. So. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Anybody, anytime in the world, past, present, who would you like to do a social kick with?
Caleb Dressel.
Oh, okay. Right away. Love it. Okay. What are 3 songs on your pre-race playlist?
Oh, this is actually, someone just asked me this. I don't listen to music anymore before I race, but it would have been like some hard, like rap. I like rap music. Like, I mean, Nelly's not like, I like Nelly a lot, but like 50 Cent, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
All right. And what song would you least like to pop up during workout?
Oh, that's really hard. These are supposed to be fast too. I'm not fast with this kind of stuff. I'm not good with song. I'm not like, Andrew's this huge music person. Like he plays the guitar and we were playing like, who sings like all the songs that we were listening to on the radio. He knows them all. And I'm like, I have no idea who this is. But any like slow. So I don't know if you were paying attention to the 400 IM final at all, but whatever song they walked us out on, I was like, this sounds pretty depressing right now. Like they couldn't have picked anything else for the 400 IM. So, you know, so anything that's like depressing, that's not going to pump you up, get you through. Yeah,
you want to keep it upbeat. All right. So, if you could post a billboard at the pool for everyone to read, what would it say?
Everything happens for a reason.
Very good. Deep end or shallow end?
Deep end.
Long warm up or short warm up?
Long.
Early to the block or last to the blocks?
Early.
What is your perfect IM order?
Breaststroke, backstroke, freestyle and butterfly.
And you're gonna put
butterfly. Yeah, because yeah, nobody else wants to. So I let's go.
That's great. Kickboard or no kickboard?
No kickboard.
Would you rather be in a pool that's too warm or too cold?
Too cold.
Too cold. Okay. And lane leader or caboose?
Lane leader.
Yeah, I figured. Leah, this has been a lot of fun. Anything you want to tell the people before we wrap up here?
No, I think the moral of the story is just keep having fun with swimming. Figure out ways to enjoy it. Make those small little goals that you can celebrate on a daily basis. Practice goals are like my number one way of staying happy, staying connected, staying in the moment, and getting to celebrate swimming more than just once a month or once a year at the big swim meets.
Yeah. And I know I will definitely be keeping an eye on you on the ISL. I think anyone who's in their 30s doing not just sprints, right? I mean, you are doing the 200 fly, 400 IM, you know? Like I told you, I got in the pool and I would do 100 free and just be crushed for weeks. So it's really impressive what you're doing. I'm very excited and I really appreciate you coming on today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Good luck to you guys. I'll be watching you guys too. Hopefully I'll swim against your girls a couple more times over the years. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, they got those young 14-year-olds. So we'll keep you going here. So
yes.
All right. Well, thanks, Leah.
Yes, thank you.